Firstborn, Exposing the Myth of Pre-Existence, A Synoptical Examination, Steve Martin, Compilation Editor. Chapter 4 of 10, Reinterpreting the Logos, God's Plan in Flesh. Few passages have been used more to defend the idea of Jesus' pre-existence than John 1:1-18. For many, it's the cornerstone text proving that Christ lived in heaven long before Bethlehem. But a closer look, one that respects both the Hebrew background and the flow of Scripture, shows something far different. John isn't introducing a second eternal person. He's announcing that God's aeonian plan, His wisdom, His spoken word, has finally come into visible, human form in Jesus of Nazareth. The Logos isn't a heavenly being. It's God's own expression, embodied in flesh. Logos in a Hebrew frame. The Greek word logos, logos, doesn't drop out of the sky. John is a Jewish writer, immersed in Hebrew thought. To understand him, we have to step back into that world. Wisdom as poetry. Proverbs 8 personifies wisdom as a helper at creation. But no Israelite thought wisdom was literally another being beside God. It was a poetic picture of His creative power. Likewise, Psalm 33 verse 6 says, "By the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made." God's speech creates, it's not another person doing the work. Logos as blueprint. The Greek word logos means word, reason, plan, or design. Think of an architect's blueprint or an author's outline. It exists in the mind before it takes shape. God's logos is His master plan for the ages, His story unfolding exactly as He purposed. The Word became flesh. When John says, "The Word became flesh," John 1:14, he's not talking about a heavenly figure turning into a human. He's saying God's aeonian purpose finally walked onto the stage of history in Jesus. Plan manifested, Jesus embodied God's Word. He was the living, breathing fulfillment of what God had always intended. Translation matters. In the first verses of John 1, the subject is the Word, and the correct pronoun is it, not him. Many translations, especially the King James Version, read theology into the text, shifting it to him and toward God to with God. But notice, Jesus isn't named until verse 14. Only then do we see the Word embodied in the man Christ Jesus. A logical problem. If Jesus literally was the Logos, then when He died, the Logos itself would have died, meaning creation should have unraveled for 3 days. That makes no sense. The Word wasn't a person dying. It was God's purpose being revealed through a person who died and rose again. God alone creates. John 1:3 says, "All came into being through it." Many read this as Jesus actively creating the world. But the Old Testament is crystal clear. God alone created all things. Isaiah 44:24, Psalm 33:6. Blueprint, not builder, creation unfolded perfectly according to God's plan, with Christ in view as its goal and ruler. Jesus wasn't a co-creator. He was the one for whom the creation was built. No shared glory. God says, "My glory I will not give to another." Isaiah 42:8. If Jesus were a co-creator, He'd share God's glory, which God Himself denies. Sent doesn't mean pre-existence. John the Baptist was sent from God. John 1:6. Clearly that didn't mean He lived in heaven before birth. The same holds true for Jesus. Hebrews clarifies the timing. Hebrews 1:1-2 is the perfect commentary. "Long ago God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by a Son." That's plain. God used prophets in the past. Only in these last days did He speak by His Son. If the Son pre-existed, why didn't God speak through Him earlier? Because the Son did not exist until conception. Where the confusion came from. So how did we get from John's Hebrew worldview to the idea of a pre-existent Christ? The answer lies in Greek philosophy. Thinkers like Plato elevated logos as a cosmic principle of reason. Later, church leaders read John through that philosophical filter. The result? A logos that was no longer God's plan, but a second divine being. That's how Greek categories infiltrated Christian theology, and how John's simple declaration of God's plan in Christ got reshaped into proof for pre-existence. The Word in action. Here's the beauty. Reinterpreting John's logos doesn't shrink Jesus. It magnifies both Him and His Father. God remains the one Creator, the sole source of all things. Jesus is the embodiment of God's Aeonian plan, the Word in action. He didn't exist before Bethlehem, but from Bethlehem onward, he revealed what God had always had in mind, a faithful man, a suffering Redeemer, a glorified Son. The Logos became flesh, not by transformation, but by embodiment. Jesus didn't need pre-existence to reveal God. He was the revelation, the living picture of the Father's plan.